A prayer of an afflicted person who has grown weak and pours out a lament before the Lord. Hear my prayer, Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I'm in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. For my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. In my distress, I groan aloud and I'm reduced to skin and bones. I'm like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake. I've become like a bird alone on a roof. All day long, my enemies taunt me. Those who rail against me use my name as a curse. For I eat ashes in my food and mingle my drink with tears because of your great wrath, for you have taken me up and thrown me aside. My days are like the evening shadow. I wither away like grass. But you, Lord, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures through all generations. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show her favor to her. The appointed time has come, for her stones are dear to your servants. Her very dust moves them to pity. The nations will fear the name of the Lord. All the kings of the earth will revere your glory. For the Lord will rebuild Zion and appear in his glory. He will respond to the prayer of the destitute. He will not despise their plea. Let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. The Lord looked down from his sanctuary on high. From heaven he viewed the earth to hear the groans of the prisoners and to release those condemned to death. So the name of the Lord will be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem when the peoples and the kingdoms assemble to worship the Lord. In the course of my life, he broke my strength. He cut short my days. So I said, do not take me away, my God, in the midst of my days. Your years go on through all generations. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. And the children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you. Let's pray as we have a look at God's word together today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for placing the Psalms of Lament in the Bible. Father, thank you for giving us permission to be honest with you about how we feel. As we look at Psalm 102, would it be a comfort to us? And would we come to know and love and appreciate the Lord Jesus more? And we pray all these things in his name. Amen. I'm going to start this sermon by reminding us of a bit of an uncomfortable truth. We're all living lives that are gradually fading away. We're all living lives that are gradually fading away. If you're good looking, then your beauty is fading. So back in March 2021, don't know whether you caught it, I saw the Friends reunion TV show, and the six actors who played Monica and Rachel and Phoebe and Ross and Joey and Chandler were an attractive bunch back in the 1990s, and they're still a good-looking bunch in 2021. But as you look at them, their beauty has faded. There are lines and wrinkles where there weren't lines and wrinkles. There's shadows. They're not as in top condition as they were back in the 1990s. If you're healthy, then that is fading. I don't know about you, but I have aches and pains in my body in my 40s that weren't there in my 20s. If you're intelligent, that is fading. I read an article this week online that said that our brain processing power peaks at 18. And the ability to remember unfamiliar names peaks about 22. And so this is my second week here at Enfield, and I'm definitely not 22. So if I forget your name, that's the reason. I'm old and definitely not 22 and past my peak for remembering names. As I get to know people in the church, there does seem to be a bit of a running culture among you. Loads of people seem to run, you know, park run, marathons, all those different things. But that physical fitness is fading too. The same article says that our strength, our physical strength, peaks at 25. Not only that, but the average age of someone who runs a marathon, who can run a marathon in 2 hours at 11 minutes or less, which I think is a good time. Is that a good time? Yeah, it's a good, very good time, is 28. So whether we're Christians or not, I think this we're aware of this, aren't we? We're aware of this fading, and it disturbs us. It disturbs our hearts, doesn't it? We hate the idea of our lives just fading away. Just look at our culture around us. I mean, the culture around us spends lots of money staying young. So some of those six actors who played Friends back in the 1990s, let's be honest, have had plastic surgery. At least three of them, both one of the guys and two of the women, have had plastic surgery. And our culture pursues youth, but it can't, because it can't abide thinking that our lives are fading away. More than that, we never talk about death, which is the ultimate form of fading away, isn't it? I'm not massively into poetry, but I remember watching the film Interstellar, and one of parts of the film, a poem from Dylan Thomas was read, and this is what it said. This is Dylan Thomas's poem, the first verse. Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. And so Dylan Thomas is saying, don't just accept gently fading away to death. Rage against it. It's something to be raged against. So what does Christianity have to say to people, all of us in this building, who are fading away, whether we feel that fading or not? We are fading away. And that's a question for both Christians and those who aren't Christians, those who wouldn't call themselves Christians. We are both facing that. What hope does the Bible have to offer? And what we're going to do, we're going to have a look at Psalm 102 this evening, just to see what that hope, what our Heavenly Father gives us in this situation of fading away. So first, lament our fading lives, verses 1 to 11. Lament our fading lives. The title of the psalm doesn't tell us exactly who the psalmist is, doesn't really say, but he does say a little bit about who the psalmist is. It says, a prayer of an afflicted person who's grown weak and pours out a lament before the Lord. So this is an Old Testament believer who's faced just waves and waves of affliction that have crashed against him time and time and time again. And the strength he's felt has been beaten out of him. And he feels his weakness. He sees that his life is fading away. And so he cries out in this distress of his fading to the Lord. Have a look at verse 1. Hear my prayer, Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. And so as he cries out to the Lord, he pleads that the Lord wouldn't hide his face from him. Today we would say, God, please don't cut me dead. Please return my calls. Please don't ignore me. And so why is the psalmist in such distress? Well, it's because he feels that his life is fading away, and that is distressing him, verse 3. For my days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. I'm sure many of us, maybe not tonight, but have had barbecues over the last few weeks. And when you lit the charcoal and it begins to burn, it gives off smoke, and that smoke gets in your eyes. But it's temporary, isn't it? One moment it's in your eyes and you're blinking, and next moment it's gone. And our lives are over so quickly, they just vanish in a puff of smoke. And his bones are burning like glowing embers. There is pain in his bones, but like glowing embers, like the glowing coals of your barbecue, they don't last very long, do they? They go out very quickly. They burn themselves out. And the psalmist is also suffering physically, verse 4. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. and I forget to eat my food. In my distress, I groan aloud, and I'm reduced to skin and bones. His appetite has vanished, and so he doesn't eat. If you know, he's suffering from deep depression, and he just doesn't feel like eating. He doesn't want to eat. And the pounds just fall off him, so the people begin to see his rib cage and see the bones poking out through his skin. That's how distressed he is. Verse 6, I'm like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. I lie awake. I've become like a bird alone on a roof. Don't know whether you've ever been in the woods at night and you've heard an owl, and it just feels very alone and dark and still, doesn't it? And he feels like a desert owl perched among the ruins, solitary, alone in the stillness of night. And he feels that when it's even 9 o'clock in the morning. He feels that like it's midnight at 9 o'clock in the morning. He's alone in his deep distress. And not only that, there's even more. Verse 8, all day long my enemies taunt me. Those who rail against me use my name as a curse. And if the psalmist doesn't have enough to deal with, some people are taunting him in his misery. They use his name as a swear word. And so why has all this happened? Why is he in this distress? Why is he feeling like this? Well, verse 10 tells us, because of your, God's great wrath, for you've taken me up and just thrown me aside. And so the psalmist feels that the Lord in his anger has just picked him up and thrown him into a corner. And that brevity of life, that distress in verse 3, is distressing him once again in verse 11. My days are like the evening shadows. I wither away like grass. The evening shadows will appear fairly soon. They'll be there for an hour or so, and then they'll just disappear, won't they? It's not very long. It's very brief. And that's how he feels. He feels that his life is like an evening shadow, just here and then gone. And although this psalm was written by an Old Testament believer, the truer and better singer of Psalm 102 is the Lord Jesus himself. Can't you hear him singing this psalm, maybe in his head, maybe meditating on the psalm as he heads towards the cross, but in that final week as he goes into Jerusalem to head to the cross to pay for sin? His days vanished like smoke in verse 3, because his life was cut short at roughly about 33 years old. In his distress, verse 5, he groaned aloud. My mind goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus groaned in deep distress at the thought of bearing the punishment for sins of his people on the cross. All day long, the enemies of the Lord Jesus taunted in verse 8. The Roman soldiers jammed a crown of thorns on his head and mocked him by saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And all of this happened because the Lord Jesus was experienced God's wrath, his anger against our sins. All of our sins were placed onto Jesus, and he suffered the punishment we should have suffered. And so the Lord Jesus, even though he is God, knew the distress of a fading life. And in his distress, he sung and prayed Psalm 102. This is his songbook. This was his prayer book. He prayed it as a lament to his heavenly Father. And so Psalm 102 is Jesus' song, but it can also be our song if we're Christians. Christians are in Jesus, and so his song can be our song as well. And as he begins to sing this psalm of lament, we can raise our voices and join with him in it. And let's be honest, we're all at different stages, aren't we? We're all at different stages, so not all of us will feel that their life is fading. And that's especially true if you're on the younger end of the scale, age scale. And for you, this talk of a fading life might sound just a bit, weird. You don't feel like you're fading particularly. You feel that you could conquer the world. But I'm sure that you will have friends and family who you love dearly, but whose lives you see are fading. And perhaps you could use Psalm 102 to pray for them. Maybe you don't feel it yourself, even though, let me give you an uncomfortable truth, you are fading even though you don't feel it. But maybe you can send maybe a verse from this psalm to them to encourage them if they're trusting in Jesus. But for those of us who are older, who are experiencing that distress of a fading life, who perhaps a bit greyer, a bit less strong than we once were, then it's a godly reaction to lament that fading. Human beings were never designed to fade away. And that's why it is painful. But the reason why we do fade away is because Adam and Eve rebelled against God the Father at the beginning of creation, and sin and death enter the world, and we fade away because of God's judgment on that rebellion. I remember a godly guy for many years, very physically fit and active all his life, but as he has grown older, he has begun to fade, and other people have noticed it. Things that he loved to do, he can't do anymore. So he used to play squash every week on a Friday night, until as he was playing someone 20 years his junior, his Achilles ruptured on the court, and he recovered from that. And even though after intense physio, it's recovered, he can't play squash anymore because just going back on the court, it could just ping again. And so he's had to give it up, and he's fading away, and that's painful for him. And so what is fading for you at the moment, and that's causing you distress? What is fading for you at the moment? Is it your health or happiness? Is it your energy or maybe a relationship that's fading? Or maybe you have had a dream in your 20s and now in your 40s or 50s, that's fading away. So as Christians, if our fading lives are causing us distress, then we can turn to our Heavenly Father and lament that fading. We're meant to lament it. We weren't designed this way. That is a godly thing to do. And as we pray to the Father through the Lord Jesus, we know we'll have a sympathetic ear because the Lord Jesus knows what it's like to live a fading life, because that's what he experienced as he walked to his death, to the cross. Life ended at 33. If you're looking into Christianity, then I'm sure you too will have felt that distress of a fading life. And my question to you is, who or what do you turn to in that distress? And does it help? And one of my prayers for this sermon is that we're holding out to you the great hope of Christianity, that actually there is a Savior who can deal with our fading lives. We can't stop it. We will all fade, and ultimately we'll fade into the ultimate fading of death. And the Lord Jesus has came into the world to deal with that. So lament our fading lives. Second, hope in our forever future, verses 12 to 22. And so there's a bit of a change in tone. I don't know whether you noticed it as I read it. So the psalmist laments his fading life. However, there comes a big but in verse 12. His fading life is contrasted with the Lord God who lives forever. Have a look down verse 12. But you, Lord, sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures through all generations. The Lord never fades. His rule and his reign last forever. And as people whose lives are fading, future generations will forget us. I don't know how audience participation goes down at Enfield, so this is a test for you. What I'd like, if you don't like it, generally, just humour me and give it a go. I'm new. Can't use that excuse all the time, can I? Stick up your hand if you know the first name of your great-grandfather. Okay. A handful, maybe 10, 11 people in this room know their first name of their great-grandfather. That's how quickly people fade away from this life and are forgotten. But the Lord's fame will last through all generations. 2,000 years later, 4,000 years later, after these words have been written, we're still remembering the Lord. And this everlasting king will have an everlasting kingdom, verse 13. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to show her favor. The appointed time has come. And Zion is a shorthand way of describing Jerusalem, describing God's people. And so this everlasting king will have compassion on his people. and he'll show them kindness. Verse 50, the nations will fear the name of the Lord. All the kings of the earth will revere your glory. God, you know, God's people aren't going to be made up of exclusively Jewish people. That's the ethnicity, the nationality of the person writing this psalm. Rather, the nations will come to fear and worship the Lord. That's a good news, isn't it, for us, if we're not Jewish. We're included too. And more than that, this psalm was written with a half an eye on people who weren't even born. Verse 18, let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may praise the Lord. You know, these future generations of people who aren't even born yet will praise the Lord, because verses 19 and 20, the Lord will hear their groans and act to release them. The Lord will be their rescuer. And because the Lord is creating a people who will not fade, but who will last forever, they will sing and declare his praises, verses 21 and 22. So the name of the Lord will be declared in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem when the peoples and the kingdoms assemble to worship the Lord. You know, the psalmist's life may be fading, but he trusts in God who lives forever. And he hopes in a future that perhaps he will never see, that there'll be a forever future with God's forever people. And as the Lord Jesus approached his death on the cross, these words must have been very precious. He must have felt the distress of a rapidly fading life cut short in his prime. But he trusted in his heavenly Father and hoped in that forever future where a people will be gathered, not just from Israel, but from all over, to worship his heavenly Father. And so it's right and it is godly to lament our fading lives. However, we shouldn't just lament or lament so much that we forget our forever future. And the comfort of the Christian life is that although we may fade away here, we'll go to dwell with our Heavenly Father where we'll never fade away, where that forever future will be. So how will that forever future make a difference in your life tomorrow, this week? Well, let me try and give you an example. And if this isn't where you struggle, maybe you can adjust it for your situation. So just imagine you are struggling with fading health. And sometime this week, you are unable to do what you used to be able to do with ease. And so you turn to your Heavenly Father and you pray in your response. You say something like this. Obviously, you make it into your own words. Heavenly Father, it causes me distress to not to do something that I could do such and such before. I used to so much enjoy it, and I miss it. But I look forward to the unfading life you promise for your people in the new heavens and the new earth, where I will have a resurrected body. I'm looking forward to that. And so this psalm is not just a psalm only of lament. It's laments, but with the hope of a future, of a forever future where we do not fade. So hope in our forever future. And so third, rejoice in our forever Saviour, verses 23 to 28. And again, the tone of the psalm switches again, and this time it goes from hope back to distress. Verse 23, in the course of my life, he broke my strength. He cut short my days. So I said, do not take me away, my God. In the midst of my days, your years go on through all generations. You know, it's not that just that there's life is fading away that causes the psalmist distress. It's the fact that he's been cut off abruptly. You know, he won't enjoy long innings. Rather, he'll be cut off in his prime. You know, it's always painful when anyone dies, isn't it? If any loved one we know dies, even if they're old, 80, 90. But it feels far too soon when someone in their 20s or 30s dies. That's the sense here. I'm being cut off in my prime. And I know it's not very clear in your Bibles, but verses 25 to 27, the psalmist is interrupted in his prayer and God the Father speaks to him in response. Why do I say that? Well, it's because verses 25 to 27 are quoted in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 to 12. We don't have time to read it, but in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 to 12, it is made clear that the person speaking in Psalm 102, 25 to 27 is God the Father, and the person he is speaking to is his Son, the Messiah, God's kingly rescuer. And God the Father says to God the Son this: "In the beginning, you, God the Son, laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like clothing, you will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." And so God the Son created the heavens and the earth, and they look so permanent, don't they? This world feels so permanent. It's the only thing that we've known. And yet one day, it will wear out, like our favorite jumper often wears out, and holes start appearing in our favorite jumper, and creation will wear out, and yet God the Son will remain. And once the holes start appearing in the jumper, it's either time to recycle it or take it to the charity shop. And that is like what the Son, God the Son, will do to creation. Like an old jumper with holes in it, creation will be discarded. But whilst creation is discarded, God the Son will never be discarded. He will never fade. He will remain the same, and he will live forever. And this forever life has an amazing result, verse 28. "The children of your servants will live in your presence. Their descendants will be established before you." The forever life of God the Son leads to the forever life of God's people. The forever life of God the Son leads to the forever life of God's people. And I'm sure the Lord Jesus holding on to this, onto verses 23 to 28, as he headed towards the cross, he knew the agony, the distress of a fading life cut off in its prime here on earth. But he also trusted in his Father's word that his years would never end. And that came true after Jesus rose again on the third day in the power of an indestructible life. He'll never pass away. And as we sing the song with Jesus as Christian believers, we can rejoice that we have a forever Savior, because our only hope for a forever future rests on us having a forever Savior. As long as the Lord Jesus remains in heaven, we are welcome in heaven. And let's be reassured, the Lord Jesus is not going anywhere quickly. He will be there. We will be welcome in heaven as he is welcome in heaven. And that should lead us to great joy and praise, even in the midst of lament of our fading. Because the Lord Jesus is able to do what Botox and facelifts and gym membership and dressing younger and surgery have all failed to do: transform fading lives into unfading lives. And this rejoicing in the Lord Jesus is captured, I think, in the song about him. It's a bit of a dated song, but I remember people, when I got converted in a church, singing this song. And I think the words are really beautiful and sort of capture the essence. This is what it says: "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives." And so we can rejoice in our forever Savior. Our forever future is guaranteed forever by our forever Savior. And that's great news, isn't it? So we all live fading lives. And Psalm 102 speaks into our fading lives. And for those who trust the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that lamenting over our fading isn't wrong. It isn't sinful. Rather, it's the godly reaction, praying to our Heavenly Father. But it doesn't stop there. It also says that we have a forever future that we can hope in. And that forever future is guaranteed by our forever Savior, the Lord Jesus. I've been speaking quite a lot to those who would call themselves Christians, but if you wouldn't call yourself a follower of the Lord Jesus, then at the moment you do not share that hope of an unfading life after death. And the fading of this life is distressful with no relief. But the offer of that hope that Christians have is something that's open to you if you repent and trust in the Lord Jesus. And I'm just wondering whether that is something that you've considered doing. Maybe you could keep coming along to church. Maybe ask if a Christian friend's been bringing you, why not ask a Christian friend about that hope they have in them. So as we draw to a close this part of the service, let me pray for us as we just reflect and respond to Psalm 102. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you that he laid the foundations of the earth and the heavens were the work of his hands. Praise you that he will remain and he will never change. He does not wear out. Thank you, Father, for that. And that gives us so much joy because it gives us hope that we can look forward to an unfading life even after death, even when our lives are currently fading away. Father, but this joy doesn't take away the distress of fading lives. We pray for those who are particularly distressed at the moment with their fading. Please, would the Lord Jesus draw close to them. Please reassure them that he listens to their laments with great sympathy because he knows what it feels like. Would they use Psalm 102 to find the language to express their distress? Thank you that you hear and thank you that you care. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing now, obviously behind masks. We're going to sing in response, so please do stand as the music group leads us.